calling the meeting of the Chief of Grant Committee to order. And in accordance with state law regarding public meetings held via electronic equipment, this meeting will be recorded and the recording will be placed on the authority's website. And I'm going to now take a roll call of the committee members. Peter Lisek.
Here, present.
Thank you. Stephen Elba.
Present. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, Stephen. Thank you. Susan Martin.
I am here.
And Alan.
Present.
Great. Any other board members? Michael Angelini.
Lawrence, I'm here. Thank you. Thank you for letting me crash the committee that I'm not a part of. Just to be clear, this question might be for Denise. When obviously I wasn't at last year's meeting at this time, do I need to actually abstain or can I just be quiet as the vote happens for last year's minutes?
Vote on the minutes, though you weren't there. But you're not a member of the grant committee?
I'm not a member and I was not at last year's meeting.
Okay, so then you wouldn't vote on it.
The last meeting.
Okay, so you wouldn't vote on the minutes then.
Perfect. Thank you. Sorry, Lawrence.
Thank you. No worries. It was a great question. Daryl Hill? Are there any other board members, chief of board members? Okay, we'll go to staff. Jeanette?
Yes, I'm here.
Denise?
Here.
Thank you. Jessica?
Present.
Thank you. Dan Gungy?
Present.
Thank you, Dan. Joanne?
Joanne's here.
Thank you, Joanne. Michael?
I'm here.
Thank you, Michael. Cynthia?
I'm here.
Thank you. Kara? Stewart?
I'm here.
Thank you, Kara. And Betty Weintraub?
I'm here.
All right, thank you. Are there any consultants that are listening? If you are, if you could then identify yourself for us, please.
You're not asked to this meeting, Lawrence, so.
Okay, great. So, with regards to, you know, the prelogue, if individuals must state their names and titles before speaking during the meeting. And a vote must be taken by roll call unless the vote is unanimous. And in the event that the meeting is interrupted due to technical difficulties, members and staff will receive a text or email advising whether the meeting is adjourned or canceled or the time the meeting will resume. So, Peter, I turn this over to you.
Okay, thank you, Lawrence. First item of business is the election of a new chair for this committee. Obviously, everyone knows that Estella Lopez resigned her position effective in November, and with that, we lost our chair of this particular committee. In consultation with Jeanette, I have asked Lawrence to serve as chair of the grant committee. Lawrence and I have had several back and forth conversations, and he very graciously and willingly agreed to serve as chair of the grant committee. So with that as a background in our first order of business, I would entertain a motion to accept nominate Lawrence to serve as chair of the grant committee. Is there a motion?
I make a motion to.
Thank you, Steve. Is there a second?
Nominate Lawrence.
I'll second.
Great. We've got a motion and a second to elect Lawrence as a chair of the grant committee. Is there any discussion, comments, questions? Thank you very much. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? And are there any abstentions? Thank you all very much. And a very sincere thank you to Lawrence for agreeing to take on the chair of this committee. And again, Lawrence, as we talked about during our discussions, it really is a committee that I think all the board members really value its mission, and it's an important part of what we do. So thank you for taking it on.
Peter, thank you, and Jeanette, as well as the other board members for the confidence and for providing this opportunity for me to be the chair of this committee. So once again, you know, I'm grateful and very grateful for the work that Estella had done with regards to this. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to hopefully fill her shoes, which I said to you, Peter, are big and you know, I don't know that I will do that, but all the same, I'll give it my best. Thank you again.
Okay.
So with that, the first order of business is going to be the grant committee meeting minutes from November 17th, 2021, that was included in the package that was provided. I assume that everyone had an opportunity to go ahead and read that. And with that, I'm going to ask if there are any questions or any comments or changes with regards to the minutes.
I'll move acceptance of the minutes.
So move. Okay. Is there a second?
I can second it, Stu Martin.
Yes. All right. With that, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Thank you. So the minutes are approved, and thank you everyone for joining us in terms of this particular meeting. So this meeting is going to be focused on the targeted grant review program. And, you know, as you know, that TIFA has, you know, had this program since 2015, which there's been some, I think it was 4.5 million. Am I right, Betty? In monies that have been distributed over that particular time. And the program is looking to distribute with the current year $1 million. And, you know, the review process had been started in 2021, in June of 2021, with July being the year for submission in terms of responses to the program. And I'm going to give Betty an opportunity to provide us just a brief overview of the memo and the memo points with regard to that. And I'll talk about the new process that was installed during that particular time.
Thanks, Lawrence. Betty? Thanks so much. As Lawrence mentioned, we have $1 million to give away for the targeted grant program for fiscal year 2022. The targeted grant program is our statewide grant making of six-figure awards. And we are focused for the third year on workforce. This was a three-year plan to align the targeted grant making with the strategic plan for 2019 through 2021. We were interrupted by a year of COVID grant making. So this is the third year of the targeted grant making focused on statewide workforce. We started out with a letter of interest process. And from that letter of interest, we received 20 letters of interest for the internal review committee to review. The review committee is made up of myself, Jeanette, Denise, Cynthia, and Michael. Many thanks to all of them for their review this time and for their thoughtfulness in reviewing all of the LOIs. From the group of 20 LOIs, we aggregated our scores of what we thought should move forward with a full application. It was a yes and no. And anything that received a 3 out of 5 rating moved forward with a full application. That was 8 applications that we received. We reviewed those 8 applications. They were reviewed in the process that we've talked about for the client grants at the November meeting, which was a high, medium, or low ranking. And the high rankings received a score of 3, the medium a 2, the low a 1. Then we aggregated our scores and we came up with the 4 grants that are recommended. That was based on any grant that received at least 3 high rankings. So that was the, we reviewed the 8 and 4 are the ones that are recommended. And the total is $1 million. And I'll turn it back over to Lawrence.
Well, thank you, Betty. So, just for the benefit of the members, what we did this particular year was to try to generate as wide a reach as we could in terms of reaching to organizations out there through the process of this LOI by, placing it on the CHEFA website, as well as the Connecticut Council for Philanthropy, in terms of generating as much interest as we could with regards to these targeted grants. As Betty had, noted that they're aligned with the interest that CHEFA has. The criteria that was put to work in terms of trying to judge these by the RIC members, and I want to just go ahead and say thank you to Jeanette Weldon, Cynthia, Denise, Michael, and Betty, for their work in terms of a job well done in terms of that, was that criteria included the need for a project program and the need for the project and the program, the impact on the population that it was going to, that's being served, the likelihood of success, innovation, diversity, equity, and inclusion, as well as organizational, financial, and managerial performance. I also would like to add, as part of the evaluation process, that, while we, look to the IRC members in terms of making judgments with regards to the particular grants that were chosen, it is incumbent upon the members of this particular committee to go ahead and determine whether or not they agree with those choices. And if there are suggestions in this particular meeting that, you have questions about a particular grant that may not have been selected as part of the Final Four, to raise that and ultimately we make the decision as to what are going to be those grants that are going to ultimately be recommended to the board for final support. So with that said, what I have asked and what we would like to do is to make this as interactive as possible in terms of the discussions about the particular 8 grants that had moved forward. And Betty's going to present a quick little synopsis of each particular grant. And, I'm hoping to have some dialogue with regards to each. So with that, Betty, I'm going to throw it back to you.
Sure, yeah, I'll start out with the Career Resources grant request. And that's to support 75 individuals that are hard to employ, many formerly incarcerated citizens with career and soft skills training and certification. So the Strive program and the Google Digital platform are being utilized. It is for occupational skills training and placement in jobs after the 3-week course and 105 hours. So I'll turn it back over to Lawrence for committee discussion.
So with that, I want to open it up and see if there are any questions, points of discussion about the STRIVE program.
Lawrence, this is Peter. I guess I would have one that applies to several grants. And I guess the question is, Career Resources received a CHEFA grant, I think back in 2020, as did several others that were not recommended this year. I guess just a question for Betty or whomever, was the fact that an organization was a prior recipient of a CHEFA grant factored into the decision? And if it was factored in, was it viewed as a positive or a negative? I'm just kind of curious because there were several, Career Resources being one of them, that are not being recommended this year, but they received grants in the past from us. And I'm just kind of curious. I'm not suggesting it's good or bad. I'm just kind of curious if that was one of the criteria that the internal review committee looked at or considered.
So, Peter, sorry, Lawrence, if you wanna
I'm going to throw it back to Betty, and I just wanted to, Peter, respond to that question in terms of saying that, you know, I too, you know, asked that particular question in terms of the discussion with Betty. And I think that the responses that Betty is going to share with the overall committee was very good in terms of the approach that was taken. So Betty, if you can just talk about that.
Sure, and thank you. Thank you, Lawrence and Peter, thanks for the question. From the group of eight that we that came to the final applications, Career Resources was actually the only one that did come to us for in 2020. That one was the kind of the crossover between ones that were funded back in 2020 was Career Resources. As far as that goes, it's certainly a decision point, right? I mean, it's something that's a factor as people are looking. They have all of the previous grants to you know, to consider, but it is not one of our six criteria. So in other words, if an organization receives a grant 1 year, we have what we call kind of a 3 years on, 1 year off policy. So if an organization receives a grant from us in three consecutive calendar years, so 2019, 2020, 2021, then we ask that they not come to us in 2022 before coming back to us in 2023. But that was not the case for any of these grants. So it is not a criteria as far as the six criteria that are utilized. It's not a criteria to utilize, but certainly it's a, you know, it's an information point, but really nothing more than that.
All right. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion or any other comments? Susan, any thoughts from you about this particular organization?
No, I didn't have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lawrence, just a quick question from me, but relevant for Career Resources and probably for Goodwin as well. The total project budget is higher than the requested amount. So just curious, do we have a sense of kind of minimum viability for this project to achieve its goals in terms of the amount? And are we considering staging this in the sense that, look, you need to get the extra amount before the capital goes out the door? Just curious how we approach that.
Go ahead, Betty.
Sorry. Okay, so as far as the total project amount, the organization is expected to provide us with a budget, and they provide us with, if they have asked for additional grants from other organizations, if they've gotten any funding from other, say, governmental sources or private individuals. So they do supply us with a budget in it, at the time that they submit their application. And they need to show that they're able to, the RFP that we send out, we say that they need to show that they can complete the project or program within the 1 year grant period. So in other words, what they're putting out to us, they say in advance that they're going to be able to complete because it's part of our requirements.
So Alan, I don't know, you know, with specificity as to, you know, the requirement that they have to provide that before we put our money in. My suggestion is that, you know, my understanding of the program is that, you know, we are taking a good faith belief in that the those particular entities are going to have the funds and be able to execute on their program based on the information that they provide us. I don't think that we set up any other criteria as to go and, you know, requiring that they need to put their money in before we put ours in.
Thank you.
Am I right, Betty? I don't want to upset Betty about that.
Oh, no, you're not. No. not at all, Lawrence, not at all. No, it's like I said, it's in the RFP. They need to tell us that they're going to be able to complete the project or program during the 1 to 2 year, because the for the the targeted grants, we did provide the option to either have a 1 or a 2 year program. So for career resources, they chose 1 year, but they have to show that they're able to complete the program during that 1 year grant period. Right, Denise? So Denise is here, and Denise is, I have Denise channeled in my head, like I'm always thinking about what would Denise say?
Right, you stated correctly, Betty, thank you.
The delta for career is small, it's 250 to 325. Jumping ahead to Goodwin though, it's 250 to 1.3 million. And there, you know, I guess we'll get to it there, but my question would be, is do they just reduce the number of students that they train if all they got to was call it 500K, or just curious about that, but we can, I'll save that question for when we discuss.
No, that's,
well, okay. Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. And yes, sometimes that does happen. So one of the things that we do ask for in the quarterly reports, because the targeted grants have to file quarterly reports with us because of the size of the grant, is any variance that they are experiencing as to the as to what was laid out in their grant application. And if they have a variance, sometimes it is that, we thought we were going to have 200 people enrolled in this program and we got 180 or something like that. So sometimes they do say that. But again, they do have to submit their budgets and they have to show where they're getting the full amount for their project, with us in advance so that we know going into the grant that this is something that should be recommended, because they're showing us that they're going to be able to come up with the additional dollars.
Sure. And thank you, Betty and Alan, for those wonderful questions. I will save Mike a comment with regards to Goodwin once we get there. So if there are no other questions with regards to the Strive Statewide Workforce Program, Betty, I'm just going to ask you to move on to the next one. We don't have to take a vote. Do we need to take a vote on that?
I think, that's up to you if you want to take a vote on each one as we talk about each one. It may be helpful, or it's up to whatever you would like to do in the committee.
Sure. All right, let's just proceed in terms of taking a vote as to, because this is going to be based on the recommendations as the staff as we go through and discuss each. So with regards to the STRIVE program and the recommendation by staff, the staff had recommended I'm sorry, this is not one of those. So the staff had not recommended to go forward with this. Is there a recommendation to accept the staff's recommendation with regards to the STRIVE program?
Yeah, I'll move it. I'll move acceptance of the staff's recommendation for career resources.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any abstentions? With that, Betty, the next one, please.
Sure, this is for the Connecticut State Colleges and Universities. It's a joint venture for a training program for patient care technicians with Hartford Healthcare, Yale New Haven Healthcare, and New Vance Health System. And this is to develop a curriculum and training that would be the training would happen within the employers. So the training would happen on site, and it's for their current certified nursing assistants or CNAs to get phlebotomy and EKG skills. So this would be delivered on site. It would be a collaboration, and it's program development and curriculum. I'll turn it back to Laura.
Thank you, Betty. Is there any questions, comments, points of discussion with regards to the Connecticut State College's program?
No.
If there's none, can I have a vote to accept the staff's recommendation as to this particular program?
I'll move that we accept staff's recommendation to essentially not fund this particular the application from Connecticut State Colleges and Universities.
I'll second. Thank you, Peter. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Right. Any nays? Thank you. Betty, the next, please.
Sure, this is Goodwin University, and it's a manufacturing training program. And it's a really a workforce development initiative. And they're asking for $250,000 to help upskill and reskill employees at small to medium-sized manufacturers and support apprenticeship programs with these companies. It could happen virtual or on-site. There'll be partnership with the Connecticut State Colleges and Universities and CCAT, which is the Connecticut Center for Advanced Technology. They're looking at a two-year program of 800 workers and 60 to 70 manufacturers in the state.
So with that, thank you, Betty. With that, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say,
yeah, if there's any comments, and love to hear from the board members.
So yes, Betty, I just wanted to follow up on Alan's question with regards to the concept of, you know, the big difference in terms of the amount requested versus the project. And you had answered a good part of that. But another question that I had was just the general question of, you know, follow-up in terms of tracking, you know, how the funds are being used, and if you can just talk about that.
Sure. Yeah, so I was mentioning they have to file quarterly reports with us. So if it's a two-year, if they're asking us for 2 years of funding, then they have to submit 8 reports. You know, that is the way that it is. These are big grants, and we want to know that the dollars are being utilized appropriately. And again, if there are any kind of variances or anything that's happening with the program. So with this one, as with any of the others, they will file a quarterly report and let us know if there are any issues coming up, and will let us know their progress. So does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. I just wanted to emphasize that point, that there is tracking in place so that we know what's going on. So if there is a change in the relative nature of the project, we are going to be aware of that. And I think that's important, for what Alan was asking. So are there any other points of discussions with regards to the Goodwin program?
Lawrence, just very quickly, for what it's worth, I really like the idea that it's a collaborative sort of grant. I love that they're working with CCAT and some other organizations. So, I really like that about it. And I certainly am supportive of the recommendation.
So. Thank you. Thank you, Peter, for that. So if there are no other points of discussion, I'm going to move for a vote of staff recommendation to go ahead and support this particular grant. All in favor? I'm sorry, I'm looking for a motion to move it.
I'll move it.
Thank you, Peter. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Susan. All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, everyone. Betty?
Sure, the next is Junior Achievement for their JA Career Ready program. It's a comprehensive industry exploration and career pathway program for upwards of 3,700 students. They're asking for $250,000 They're also looking at partnerships with Yale New Haven Health, with the Kreck Academy for Aerospace, and some other community partners. It's career awareness, soft skills, and financial literacy.
Thank you, Betty. Are there any points of discussions or comments about this particular request?
Right.
Hearing none, do I have a motion to accept the staff recommendation as to support for this particular grant?
I'll make
Is there a motion to move?
I can make the
Thank
motion.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Susan. All in favor, is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Alan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thanks, everyone. Betty?
Sure. The next application is from the LISC, or Local Initiative Support Corporation. And this is for financial opportunity centers, which are combined financial literacy and awareness and banking information, along with job skills and job placement. So this program is operated throughout the country. It was developed in coordination with the Annie E. Casey Foundation. They're looking at serving upwards of 1,350 individuals in Bridgeport, Hartford, New Haven, Norwalk, and Waterbury. They're looking to expand their FOC network throughout the state. And I'd welcome hearing from the committee members.
Yes, so are there any points of discussion with regards to this, this particular grant?
Sure, I just have one question. I have a little familiarity with LISC, and I've always been impressed by what they've done in communities of need, let's say. And it always strikes me as, in reading this, it seems like this is a really hard one to turn away. What was the dynamic that made them fall, let's say, below the line, if you will?
So Betty, yeah. I'm going to throw that over to you with regards to, you know, because I have not talked to the members of the IRC, but if you can share anything that you have with regards to that, those discussions.
Right. So one of the things that happens with our review with the IRC is that we do not have a lot of conversations. We have an aggregation of our scores. So the aggregation of the scores came out the way that it did. And what we know is that the 8 grants that came through that are the ones that we're reviewing here were the ones that had made it through the first hurdle of the LOIs. So each of them obviously had merits, or they wouldn't have moved through to the application process. But what we do is we aggregate our scores in our grant management system, and a score comes out, and that was how this one fell below the line.
I'm going to ask a question myself, Betty, in terms of this. One of the, how does, you know, the program itself, the criteria of its impact really play a big role in terms of this? And I go back to Peter's initial comment in talking about, you know, funding and resources. And you know, from my understanding of LISC, LISC is a organization with considerable resources, although this is, you know, the Connecticut-based one, and they do need to develop their own funding sources. You know, what, if any, role that may have had in terms of impact?
So what I will say about this is that LISC did receive, in order to get their their financial opportunity centers off the ground. They did receive money from the organization 4CT. That was one of the organizations that we funded back in during the COVID grants. So 4CT gave them a $300,000 COVID relief grant, and that is not expected to be renewed. So they have a shortfall, and that's why they came to us for $200,000 to support the expansion of the program throughout the state. And they clearly said that they had, without the funding, they said the number of sites and or the amounts awarded will need to be reduced. So they do have sites throughout the state and they're looking to expand, but they it's not covering, they don't have the resources to cover this.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions, comments about this request? Hearing none, is there a motion to accept staff's recommendation to forego support for this request? Is there a motion to move?
I'll make the motion.
Susan, thank you. Is there a second? Is there further discussion?
Okay, so Lawrence,
I was going to open it up for more discussions if we thought that, you know, as part of this, I just wanted to say, sorry, Peter, is to say that if we as the committee feel that, you know, a particular grant is deserving, I'm, you know, open to having much more of a discussion and a recommendation towards that, if that be the case. But Peter, go ahead.
I guess I'm not sure I want to belabor the discussion, but well, I guess de facto by commenting I am, but I don't know, you know, I had a similar question what Steve asked about, you know, what the criteria were that made this fall below the line. And I'm not really sure I got those. I'm not really sure I heard that answer, but also, I mean, for what it's worth, the Ann Casey Foundation is a very, very highly regarded foundation in the country. And I mean, wouldn't be so bad to be kind of on their coattails in terms of an organization that gets supported. So listen, if it's the consensus of the group to not support this one, that's fine. But I guess going back to what I heard Steve say a minute ago, personally, I guess I'd like to hear a little bit more as to why it didn't make the cut as opposed to the reasons that some other ones did. Because I thought this one was pretty intriguing application.
Yeah, so Peter, what I will say about that is it's a straight aggregation. And this is a committee decision. This isn't an IRC decision. The only decisions that we make is to make a recommendation. And then it's up to the committee to make the decision. So the committee can decide to take the four grants that were recommended and say, you know, no, we're going to recommend the other four, or can say we want to recommend two more or whatever. That's entirely the fiduciary responsibility of the grant committee. And so unfortunately, the kind of answer that you're looking for, which is this was deficient in this or that or something else, that, you know, unless the other, IRC members want to weigh in, I believe we're going to be able to provide, you know, that.
At a minimum, if you go back and look at the summary of the scores, this particular grant had two IRC members who gave it a high and three who gave it a medium. And so that's what it ultimately came down to. The ones that were recommended for approval were those that had three high recommendations. And so because this only had two, the consensus of the IRC was to not recommend it. So it's really just driven by how the scores fell. and having only two highs versus three highs for the ones that were being recommended.
Thank you, Jeanette. Any comments from Steve?
Yeah, sure.
And or Peter? Sure.
Yeah. Lawrence, thank you. So, look, I think that the it's hard for let's say the entire grant committee to substitute its judgment for the IRC when the IRC is the one who reviews the applications and scores right. them. And you have more knowledge and certainly more experience. I know, Betty, you're shaking your head, but it's hard for us to shake. It's hard for us to substitute our judgment. I have a passing knowledge of LISC and what they do, and that really shouldn't. I mean, it informs my opinion, but it shouldn't be the basis for my, for a decision.
It is the committee's decision. I just want to say it's the committee's decision, and the committee can make a decision based on the information that you have here, and it's as valid as the IRC. It's as valid. It shouldn't be put as one is higher than the other. In fact, it's higher for the, for the committee, because you have ultimately the fiduciary responsibility. So if you want to make a recommendation, that is certainly your prerogative as committee members.
And I will just second what Betty said, but I would offer just as my opinion as a member of the committee with regards to this is that, LISC is a client customer of mine whom I'm very familiar with as well. My general opinion about their request here in terms of the FOCs is that, LIS is well funded in terms of an organization. And looking at this particular request, it is one of their national, projects in terms of what they're doing, which I think that can be, funded through LIS National and provide the means for them to continue to do what they're doing in this particular state. Whereas if you look at the other programs that we had decided on, those are much more, really highly, inclusive or exclusive in terms of the fact that these are organizations, not-for-profits within the state looking to go ahead and provide programs that are going to meet the criterias of what had been laid out in terms of statewide and having, the best and biggest impact that it can with regards to, meeting our criterias in terms of chief or as an organization. So, I feel comfortable with the staff recommendation to pass on the LISC request here for those particular reasons. But as I said, I'm just one member and majority rules. So if there is further discussions or further point, we can go and set this aside and take a look at it again, or we can go and look to move forward. So I'm going to just ask for a suggestion. Do we want to table the LISC piece here and to review it again, or do we want to go ahead and move forward in terms of just looking at the staff recommendation?
I for one would defer to the recommendation of our new board chair.
Thank you so much.
I think it is a different conversation if we're going to be, because then we kind of do need to rank them against one another. I mean, I'm not familiar with this one at all, but I know the next one, I can tell you, I know about healthcare, and I know there's a great need there as well. So if we're not going to take the recommendation of the review board, already kind of went through this, and we probably should be ranking them against one another. But then you're just
going to
have all of our opinions.
And I know in the, Susan, that was kind of what I was getting at, right? So I know in the last meeting we had, we talked about a change of the ranking system, sort of instead of this, I guess it was 1 to 10, it was the sort of high, medium, low. And maybe what would be helpful for future votes would be, and I'm not looking to make too much more work, but maybe it's sort of a comments piece so we can understand the thoughts of the IRC and see that you know, with the board package and understand, let's say, people's directional thoughts without attribution, just to get a sense of what the committee's thinking. That might be helpful. Sure.
So that is with regards to that, you know, one of the things that we are going to talk about in the process today did not allow for that to happen given the shortness of time available. But, you know, we do want to have a second look at the process and recommendations in terms of from the members as to what we, you know, might be able to do better, as well as and I'm just cutting into some other aspects of what we were going to talk about, you know, looking at, you know, who we look at in terms of not-for-profits that we should consider for this program going forward and the themes that we want to cover. So those are some things that we're going to talk about, you know, we would want to do going forward. Does that help?
Lawrence, I think Steve's suggestion is right on the mark, and I would welcome an opportunity to kind of revisit process in terms of the grant committee or the recommendations rather.
Sure, Peter, and that will be noted, and we will move forward in terms of addressing that in terms of sending something out to go ahead and look at that process and talk about it and get some suggestions from the members of the committee. So with that, I want to go back to Lisk and ask for a recommendation to accept the staff's recommendation in terms of not supporting the request here. Is there a motion? There was a motion made.
I made the motion.
Right, Susan, thank you. And is there a second?
I seconded it.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you, everyone. Okay. Betty?
So the next request is from Ready CT, and it's a healthcare skills for Connecticut. Ready CT is a nonprofit organization working to connect Connecticut businesses to the public school system. And this particular request is for healthcare careers, increase availability and accessibility and quality of healthcare career programs, looking at best practices and in coordination with employers, with the workforce boards, Department of Education, Governor's Workforce Council, and DOL.
So are there any points of discussions, comments with regards to the request by Healthcare Skills of CT?
Ready CT, sorry. Lawrence, Ready
CT. Ready CT, I'm sorry. Ready CT, sorry. Thank you, Betty. With that said, are we willing to accept staff recommendation with regards to this? Is there a motion to so move?
I'll move it.
Thank you, Peter. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Betty?
The next request is for the Justice Education Center. It's a $250,000 request for Career Pathways program for undercredited youth to get a high school diploma or a GED, technology certification, and gain employment. It's for an expansion of a program, New Haven, Bridgeport, and Stamford. And currently they would be looking at two additional centers in Hartford, New Britain, or Waterbury. And it is to utilize the VOTEC schools for after school programming for those that don't go to VOTEC schools, but to be able to gain VOTEC skills.
Thank you. Thank you, Betty. Is there any point of discussions or comments with regards to the recommendation for the Justice Education Center?
No.
Do I have a motion to accept staff recommendation?
I move.
All in favor? Is there a second? I'm sorry.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Peter. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
The last request is for the statewide Boys and Girls Clubs, with the fiscal agent being Wakeman Boys and Girls Club, on behalf of the statewide 15 clubs, Boys and Girls Clubs, and it is for workforce readiness programming, essential skills development. It would be for 1,600 youth between the ages of 12 to 18, career exploration, employability, and certifications and work-based learning. And I'll turn it back to Lawrence.
Thank you, Betty. Is there any points of discussions or comments as to this particular request for Wakeman Memorial Association, the Boys and Girls Club?
Yeah, Betty, just a quick clarification. So Wakeman is the agent and through which the funds go to the other 15 Boys and Girls Club, including Stamford. Is that correct?
Correct. It's the fifth, right. They are the fiscal sponsor because the Boys and Girls Club Association of Connecticut is not a 501c3, it's a C4. So they can't receive grant funds, but they set up that Wakeman is the fiscal sponsor, gets the funds to each of the other Boys and Girls Clubs throughout the state, the 15 different Boys and Girls Clubs that fall under the umbrella.
Okay, so just a point of clarification, I'm on the board of the Boys and Girls Club of Stamford, so I'm going to abstain from voting on this one.
Thank you, Steve.
Sure.
Any other discussions, questions? Is there a motion to accept the staff's recommendation with regards to the support for this?
I'll make grant? A motion.
Thank I'll you, Susan. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Peter, was that Peter or Alan?
It was Alan.
Oh, thank you, Alan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any abstentions? Nays?
I abstain.
Peter, right. And Ms. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you so much. Betty, in terms of providing the review of that, and you know, the next thing that we particularly want to is to discuss the idea of you know, going forward, which is this idea of preliminary discussions about what we should be looking at in terms of this grant for the grant program, in terms of new ideas, in terms of who we are working with it, with regards to the not-for-profits, the particular areas that we want to cover. And, you know, with that, I asked, Betty and I sat down and we talked about it, and we went back to staff to ask them for some recommendations, but do open this up to the particular board members to provide recommendations of their own. So I'm just going to ask Betty to just mention a couple of the potential areas that we discuss, and you know, certainly open it up to the board to add any that they have.
So yeah, thank you, Lawrence. Just in the interest of time here, and I know we're 4 minutes away from when the board meeting starts. So so maybe what I'll just say is it we would look at statewide initiatives within our four core priority areas, and which is healthcare, education, childcare, and culture, and to look at getting ideas from those of you on the committee, what you're hearing about in the community, what you think might be of interest. I can, you know, obviously throw out a couple of examples right now so that we can still close on time. And there are, a few examples that Lawrence and I talked about. One, health equity, mental and behavioral health and social emotional health for adults and children, childcare, basic education skills. So those are just some examples of different areas that, you know, we hear about in our communities. but it's this is something that we would really love to get participation from all the members of the grant committee to submit. Just send me shoot me a quick email with ideas that you have, and this will be discussed at our May meeting. We'll have a conversation at the May meeting to determine where we go.
Thank you. Again, I just want to emphasize that, you know, we'll send out an email to the members with the areas that were discussed and ask for any comments and as to thoughts that they have in terms of areas that they want us to cover. The next point of discussion is that the grant committee had held a forum, and we're going to our 20th year celebration with regards to that. But, you know, it was planned for March, and due to COVID, there is going to be a change as to the timing of that. We are looking at ideas in terms of pushing this out to June, which would give us enough time to be able to do this in much more timely and appropriate fashion. I think that it gives us more leeway in terms of understanding what's going to happen with COVID, because we would want to have this as an in-person function rather than something that's on Zoom, and we think that that would be more effective. It is a follow-up to the fact that we were inviting, we're going to cover the subject matter of health equity, which is a pretty big topic today. Takesha Everett from HESS, Health Equity Solution, is going to be the moderator and presenter along with some panelists. So more should come up with regard to that. We'll provide that more information when we get to the May Grant Committee meeting on that particular subject. With regards to time, I just want to also add that the next meeting of the Grant Committee is going to be on May 18th from 12:30 to 1:30. We will review the fiscal year 2022 nonprofit grants. We're going to decide on the fiscal year 2023 targeted grant focus area. So with that, I'm going to, Betty, are there any other comments that you may have? Are there any other comments from the grant committee members with regards to what was covered today?
None other than saying thank you for the work. These are great recipients. You know, we obviously wish we could move the decimal point to the right a few spaces, but that's great.
I appreciate that, Steve, and I agree with you. Thank you so much. With that, I'm going to ask for a motion to conclude the grant committee meeting. Is there a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Susan. Is there a second?
Yep, second it.
Thank you, Peter. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So the meeting is concluded. Thank you, everyone, for your time.